Well, good evening. It's really good to be with you, and we were just reminiscing just before the start of the service. I do remember, our son and Daniel, that I remember when the pulpit, we used to be over here on this side, and I remember the first time that I ever preached was there, on that side over there. And that would be about 30 years ago now. So that's time flies, doesn't it? But yeah, it's very good to be with you this evening, and great to be able to share God's word with you. And yeah, so we're thinking about Genesis and what God tells us right at the very beginning. So it says, doesn't it, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. So that's what we're going to be thinking about. Now, when we think about that, we can think about why is it that Satan has attacked that so much, you know, God's creation. Why has he come in so aggressively against that? So I'm just going to read from Revelation 4. I realise how short I am now and how tall your pastor must be because I feel like I need a stool to stand on. So I'm going to read to you from Revelation 4. And so that's Revelation 4 beginning at verse 8. I'm going to read 8 to 11. The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day nor night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honour and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives for ever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives for ever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. So just looking at that verse 11 there. You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honour and power, for you created all things. So God is worthy of our worship because he created all things. There's one thing that Satan hates, and that's our worship of God. So that's one reason why he attacks God's creation. So another reading that we can look up is Isaiah 6. So that's Isaiah 6 and then 1 to 3. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on the throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. Above it stood seraphim, each one having six wings. With two he covered his face, with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. So again, the whole earth is full of God's glory. And then if we go to the New Testament, to Romans 1 and verse 20. Romans 1 verse 20. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes are clearly seen, being understood by the things that are made, even his eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. So God is seen in his creation, and nobody has an excuse. Let's just come, let's just pray. Let's ask God for his help now as we look at these things. Lord God, we do thank you that you are the creator of all things, and we want to honour you, and we want to worship you this evening. And so we do pray that you would please now be with us. We ask, Holy Spirit, that you would open our hearts and our minds to listen and to take in what you would have to say to us. We pray these things in your name, Lord Jesus, for your glory, Heavenly Father. Amen. Amen. So, as we look at these things then, there's an abundant evidence, isn't there, of God's existence in creation. And we can see that God is maker, creator, and sustainer of all things. Now that's one thing that we do forget very often, that not only has he made it and everything that's all around it, but he sustains it. I was talking to the children a while back and just saying about the world, you know, how it spins. What would happen if the world stopped spinning? What would happen if it moved slightly, you know, nearer or further away from the sun? Well, you know, we forget that God has not only created, but he sustains it. And he does these things. Amazing. And even in this fallen, sinful world that we live in, we can still see God's glory. His glory is reflected in it. And you just think, I think to myself, well, you know, sometimes we're just taken aback. We can be amazed, can't we? I mean, one of the things that, where we used to live in Cornwall, we had the privilege of being very close to the cliffs where we could go out in the evening and we could watch the sunset over the sea. And, you know, on the right evening, it was just amazing. And there would be lots of other people there very often that had gone to see the sunset. And one thing that struck me was that as the sun came down and as the sun hit the horizon, and there was like a golden path that came along, which almost looked like a pathway to heaven. And what would happen? People would be, you know, talk, chatter. And then this would happen and it would go completely silent. And it was like nobody wanted to say a word and corrupt what they were looking at. This part of God's creation was just stunning, amazing. And another thing that I often like to look at, it's simple but amazing, and that's in the, when you see these pictures of the desert, of the sand, and you see the sand dunes, and you look at that and you think, wow. You know, some of the photographs and the things that you see. Now that's part of God's creation, and that's just sand. And that can just make us go, wow, you know, that the God we have, amazing, isn't he? So these things reflect his glory. Now, our reading this evening, we cut in at verse 20, and I'm by no means saying that the first 19 verses aren't worth reading, because obviously that explains God's creation to us. But there's other people more qualified than me about talking about that. So if you want to, I would recommend Ken Ham. If you go online on YouTube, if you want to see what he has to say, Answers in Genesis, I mean, that's great. There's another chap called Professor John Lennox. He has some really good things to say as well. You can look these things up on YouTube, see what they have to say. I want to think more this evening about Satan's attack on Genesis. Not in the creation way so much, but in his attack on God's order for society. Because all of that is in the early part of his word as well. So it's most important then that we acknowledge him as our creator. If we don't do that, then we're rebelling against him. If we want to pretend that he didn't make it, then that is rebellion against him. So what we need to know is then, we need to be sure of why we listen to God as our creator. Now this was really brought home to me a little while back. We have the privilege of being able to help with the youth club, where there would normally be, say, 30 plus children that come along to that, who are not from any church background, and it's great to be able to speak to them. But we were talking and we were speaking to them about God, you know, we'd bring the stories about God, the Bible, about Jesus and who he is. But it suddenly twigged that why should they listen to what we had to say? You know, to them, who is God? Why listen to what he had to say? And it was really evident, you know, their lack of any knowledge of God at all, really. When we were teaching them, and we were talking about going right back and creation, and we said, well, who do you think, you know, the first man was? Do you know his name? Thinking, oh, you know, yeah, they'll know it's Adam. So they, quite innocently, all the hands went up, and it was like Steve, Paul, John. And they went for all these names, and they didn't know that the first man was Adam. And so we on to the lady. So who do you think the first lady was then that God created? And so Sarah, Jane, all these names. And they didn't have a clue. So for these 8-year-olds, this was news to them. And when we started to teach them about God and about his creation, you could see the penny dropped. Ah, this is why we have to listen to what God has to say. He's our maker, he's our creator. Now it all makes sense. So I think we have to be really careful that we just don't take that for granted, that people know about God as creator, because very often they don't. Certainly all of those 8-year-olds, it was like, you should have seen their faces. It was just, like mouths open almost. Wow. One girl even asked, when it was question time, she said, what does God think when we cut down trees then? They're all his creation. You could see their minds starting to work. So it's very important that we understand that God is our creator. He's our maker. And that gives him the supreme right to tell us how we should live. He is our maker. He says, what is right, what is wrong, and what is best for us. And it's not a load of negatives. People can say, you can't do this, you can't do that, you can't do all these negatives. There's loads of positives, isn't there? A bit like in the Garden of Eden. You think about that. There was one fruit that they weren't allowed to eat. But there was all these others. But they would say, but we can't have that one. Not, look at these hundreds of others. There's all these other things that we can have. The major was on the negative, not on the positive. And we can be like that, can't we, in life? We can forget all that God has done for us. And we can just concentrate, we can't do that, can't do that. Whereas what we need to do is we need to trust him that what he's told us is for our own good. It's a bit like having your car manual, isn't it? We've got a manual here. Tells us exactly how God wants us to live for our own good. And we get our car manual and we think we know best. It might be that we think, like, we've got a diesel car. Well, if we put petrol in it, it's going to go better. It's going to be even faster, even more powerful. But it doesn't work, does it? It doesn't work like that. So it's like that with God's word. We can't tell God what to do. He tells us what to do because he has the right to do that, because he is our maker and he is our creator. And we need to be very careful on this, because there's many churches that will labour the point that God is love. Now, God is love. I mean, that's very true, isn't it? I mean, the ultimate love. John 3:16. God so loved the world that he gave his son. He gave himself for us. Now, can you get any greater love than that? So we know that God is love. But we've got to remember that God is also holy. And God, as we read in our readings a little while ago, God is holy, holy, holy. And we need to remember that. And I was at a church not so long back where they had their lectern that you would stand behind. And God really spoke to me through that, because on the front of the lectern, I don't know what it says on the front of this one actually. Better just check. No, we're okay. On the front of this particular lectern, it said, God is love. And I thought, yeah, that's true. But the greater attribute of God is that God is holy. And it made me feel like I wanted to get a bit of paper and put on holy and go up and sort of like blue tack it over. So it said, God is holy, because God is holy. And what can happen is that so often it can be that God's love is majored on so much that it can become a license that we can do whatever we want to do. And God will approve that. Well, that's not the case. You know, we have to live in the framework. We live within the framework that God has given. We don't just automatically have his approval for everything we do, because God is holy and he expects us to behave and to order our lives within the manual that he has given to us. It's not just, I would picture it like sometimes like a spiritual casserole, where, you know, with a casserole you can throw everything in, or more or less everything in, and stew it for a long time. And what you get out is like a nice tasty mix, isn't it? You know, it can be really nice. But spiritually speaking, you know, we can't do that. We can't just like throw in whatever we think that God will approve it, and think that what comes out is going to be something spiritually tasty, because it doesn't work like that. Do you remember what Jesus said about the lukewarm church, how the lukewarm church makes him sick? You know, he wants his church, he wants his people to live within what he tells us in his word. We remember that we should have that fear and respect of God, as well as remembering his love for us, his amazing love for us. So we have to make a choice in life. You know, are we going to die to ourselves? Are we going to live the way that God has told us to live in his word? Or are we going to go our own way? Are we going to try and sort of slip in there our own way of living and think that, yeah, that will be acceptable to God? Because it's not what we think that counts, is it? It's what God says that counts. That's the thing that we really need to know. What does God say? And I think the problem with this is that very often churches kind of slip so far away from what God says that when somebody does actually stand up and proclaim the word of God faithfully, it can be a bit of a shock to the system. It's like, oh, you know, can you really say that? You know, is that right? Because, you know, this whole thing about God is love is pushed so much. I think it was Martin Luther that said that we should have peace with all men wherever possible, but the truth must stand always. So in other words, we don't go about trying to pick a spiritual fight with people, but there is a point where we have to stand, and truth must stand, and it can't be changed, and we can't move away from that. So I just want to look just very briefly at two ways that I just had highlighted to me in which God's order for society is being attacked. Now, in our reading, right back, so in Genesis 1, and it is in verses 21 to 25, you'll notice that it keeps coming up, according to their kind, and every winged bird according to its kind. And then verse 24, living creatures according to its kind, each according to their kind, according to their kind. Everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind. So we've got animal kind and we've got humankind. And very often nowadays people try to mix that up, because verse 26 told us that God said, let us make man in our image. So obviously in our image, so referring to the Trinity there. So let us make man in our image and according to our likeness. So humankind, so we are very different to the animals, because we are made in God's image. God breathed into Adam's nostril the breath of life, and man became a living being or a living soul with emotions and able to relate to each other and able to relate to God's creation. So we are not animals, and we never did evolve from animals. Now, this was really brought home to me a little while back when I was talking to a chap, Christian chap, lovely chap who I know quite well, and I was talking to him, and he was saying, of course, in the conversation, I can't remember exactly how it came about, but in the conversation he said, of course, when we evolved from animals. And I was a little bit taken aback. I was like, okay, and in my mind sort of those alarm bells were ringing, when we evolved from animals. But at the time, I must admit, I thought, well, okay, if you want to believe that, you know, I don't believe that. We both believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as our Saviour. You know, that's what's important. But afterwards, I was thinking about it, and it does matter. It does matter, because we haven't evolved from animals. Because otherwise, that means that we're nothing more than advanced animals. You know, we can behave however we like as animals. But we're not animals. We're made in His image. And even more than that, you know, it's an insult to God to say that we evolved from animals, because we didn't. We are made in His image. And there's nothing more than that. We are made in His image, and we always have been. In verse 28, it backs this up. It says, then God blessed them. This is up from our reading in Genesis. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So we are God's ambassadors in this world. You know, He's put us in this world to rule over it. And that includes the animal kingdom. You know, He's given us the world, and, you know, more or less He's saying to us, you know, now you get on with it. You know, you take care of it. We're not doing a very good job of it, are we? But this is God's world, and He's given us, as well as the animals, to rule over. So when we think about this, we need to get into our minds how different we are to animals. It really struck me, this is a few years back now, but it was in the news, so you're bound to have heard it. Do you remember that time when a young child got into the gorilla enclosure in a zoo in America? Now, I don't know how the child got in there in the first place, but that's not the point. But the child got in there, and the silverback gorilla was, you know, with the child just like a doll. And the zookeeper could see what was going to happen, that, you know, the gorilla would easily kill this young child. And they realized that to shoot the gorilla with a tranquilizer dart wouldn't act quickly enough. You know, the gorilla would still be able to kill the child. It was too risky. So they decided that the only thing they could do was to shoot the gorilla dead. You know, one shot and the gorilla was dead. And it just struck me afterwards. I was hearing about the hate mail and everything else that zoo received because they had shot the gorilla. Because people were giving the gorilla the same rights as a human being. Now, what they did was right. You know, a human, even the very, in our minds, what we might think of as the very worst of any human being, whoever that might be, some criminal or whoever, in our minds is the very worst, still bears the image of God. So to think that we're on the same level as animals is grossly wrong. We're not on the same level as animals. Obviously, that doesn't mean that gives us some sort of license we can treat animals however we want to, because we can't. Because it says, doesn't it, in God's word, that even a sparrow that falls to the ground, that God knows about it. So God has a great care for the animals that He has made, and it's up to us to care for those in the best way that we can. But it's not to the extent where an animal has the same level of rights as a human being, you know, because we are so different. We are made in His image. So that's one thing that we can remember about God's order for society, that we're not animals and we never have evolved from animals. We've always been God's image. And the other thing I just want to look at just briefly is where it says, male and female, He created them. So male and female. So there's only two genders. Now that's not what many people would say, that there's only two genders, but that's the way that God has made us, with two genders, male and female. Now I did some looking up on Google, as you do, just to see what Google had to say about this, and I read this. Google says, there are many different gender identities, including male, female, transgender, gender neutral, non-binary, two-spirit, I thought that was an interesting one, third gender, and all or none of, or a combination of these. There are many more gender identities than we've listed. So that was one search. Another search said that there are 107 gender identities currently listed in 2023. So obviously there's going to be even more than that listed now. And then just to see what the scientists say. So scientifically, how many genders? I've just put that into Google as well. And it came up with this. There are two biological sexes, male and female. I thought, well, that's interesting, isn't it? The scientists are saying that there are two biological genders, male and female. And so that's not listened to. But when the scientists say about evolution, well, that is listened to. That seems all a bit one-sided, really, doesn't it? But it's another thing that's being attacked of the way that God has ordered things. His society, you know, He knows what's best for us. So do we trust Him that He knows what's best, or do we want to go our own way? And the next question is, how do we go about presenting that as well? You know, if we stand up here and we preach, then we have a great responsibility. God's word tells us that of all people, when we stand before Him, He's going to want to know from us about what we said and why we said it. And I believe also that He's going to want to know, you know, the way that we said it as well, the way that we put it across. And I think that this is a classic case of that, you know, the way that we put things across to people. You know, is it in a caring, loving, compassionate way? Or do we want to ridicule people because of what they might believe? Because we need to be careful, don't we? Because we read, don't we, that the God of this world has blinded people's eyes. So Satan blinds people's eyes. So people who might think, you know, a different gender, or they're an animal, or all these different things, we might think, oh, you know, oh, that's ridiculous. Oh, that's you know, and almost want to take the mickey. But do you know, if it wasn't for God's work in our hearts, if it wasn't for a work of the Holy Spirit, that could quite easily be us. So we need to be very, very careful about the way that we put these things across, don't we? When the Lord said, I will not leave you on your own, you know, I will send the helper. Well, that's great, isn't it? Because we need the Holy Spirit, don't we? We need the Holy Spirit. When these situations come up, you know, do we speak? Do we not speak? What do we say? What do we not say? We need that arrow prayer, don't we? You know, Lord, what do I say? You know, you help me. You give me the words to say. Preachers need that help because we need to know as well. You know, what do we say or what do we not say? And how do we say it? How do we go about it? So we need to be so careful, don't we? But in all of that, what do we read when we finish? It says, but God saw everything that He had made, and it was very good. So, it can be like almost like doom and gloom, can't it? And where is this all going to end? Where is it going to end? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ is going to come again. And what an amazing day that is going to be. And I'm praying that it will be in my lifetime, because I would, with all that we see that's going on around us, with so many different ways in which people are turning their back on God and they're going their own way, then surely it's not going to be long before our Lord returns. And it's so important for us to be ready for that day, isn't it? And it's so important that we can help other people be ready for that day. And the things that we've spoken about today, I know that many of us, it can be in our families, it can be in our close friends, there can be all sorts of different relationships, different things that are going on which go directly against God's word. Now, how do we handle that? You know, do we just not speak to them? Do we say, oh, you know, we're not speaking to so-and-so because they do this or they do that, and oh, it's terrible, you know. You know, we almost become the ones that judge the level of sin, you know. Who are we to grade sins from, you know, from higher to lower level? That's God's prerogative, isn't it? It's our duty to be able to get this message across. And I think that was the thing that the Lord really laid on my heart. When we look at the first part of his word, when we look into Genesis, there's so many things in there. You know, our relationship with him, most importantly, but our relationship with each other and the community and everything that goes on. You know, there's so much in this that we can look at. And we need to, sometimes I think, go back to basics. We need to go back to the basics of what God's word says. And we need to stick to that. And we need his grace and we need his love in our hearts, don't we, to be able to put that across to other people. So I hope that's been helpful for you this evening. And please, if you've got any questions that you want to ask me afterwards, then please, you know, I'm very happy to speak to anyone. That would be great. But before we sing, let's just come to him in prayer and pray about those things that we've been thinking about. Lord God Almighty, we come to you, our Maker and our Creator, and we want to give to you the respect and honour that is due to you. Lord, you are our Maker, and we answer to you. And we pray that you would give us your love for others. Help us to love other people as you love them. Lord, we know that we live in a world that has moved so far away from you, so far away from what you have told us in your word. And we ask that, Holy Spirit, you would put it in our hearts. You would give us the words and the opportunities and situations that we can speak against these things. But Lord, in love, with your heart to these people. Lord, we pray against all that the devil would try to do to stop your church, to put your church down, to make these things seem so foreign to so many people. Lord Jesus, we asked that your name might be glorified, that you would help us as a part of your church to do that, that we would honour you, that we would bring glory to your name. And Lord, we pray that we would be ready for when you come again. Lord, we pray for our family members. We pray for those we love. We pray for friends that we have that are so confused when your word seems to say so differently to what they're told in the media and all these other ways. Lord, speak to their hearts, we pray. Open their hearts and move them, we pray. And we pray that you will help us to appreciate you as our Creator. All that you have made, all that you've created, the wonder of your creation all around us. Lord, whatever it will be like to be on the new earth where it's perfect, Lord, we look forward to that so much. And so we just asked in your name that you will help us to honour you, that you would help us to stay faithful and true to you and to your word. We pray all of these things in your name with your help, Holy Spirit, and for your glory, Heavenly Father. Amen.